Been looking at, or we're looking at events on the Passover weekend. Last week, we just got started on the events, and the first event that took place in that upper room were things that are that John records in John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, five chapters. So we just not just reading the highlights of them. Jesus washes the feet of the disciple. He identifies his betrayer. He predicts Peter's denial. He announces his going away. Then he promises another helper. Then he instructs the disciples in the upper room on the work of, and the Bible uses the term, the helper, the Holy Spirit. He's also referred to in John 15, verse 26, as the Spirit of truth. And then he mentions the work of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance the things that Jesus said to them. He would the Holy Spirit would testify of Jesus, convict the world of sin, guide them into all truth, and everything that he would say, Jesus said he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And then Jesus prays in John chapter 17, 26 verses of Jesus' prayer. And then Matthew and Mark also record that Jesus with the disciples observes, as you're familiar with, the Passover. And then he institutes his own supper. And then they sing a hymn and go out to the Mount of Olives. So a lot of events took place in that upper room. And so many times we just focus on one or two of them. But the next event or what takes place is with the Garden of Gethsemane. I just want to read this section for you or with you. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 26, beginning at verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. So then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, "You sit here while I go and pray over there." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Verse 39. He went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Verse 42. So again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour's at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Verse 48. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him." Immediately, he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he'll provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Verse 55. So in that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now it's interesting, in verse 56, it says, "But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end." So yes, all the disciples fled, but Peter just didn't flee very far, but he followed from a distance, and John. The story continues, or at least a little added information about the seizure of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, in John chapter 18. But in this text we just read, remember Jesus has prayed, "Oh my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thine be done," or "but as you will." And so three times Jesus has found the disciples sleeping, in verses 40, 43, and 45. Verse 47, you remember the events in this garden, Judas and the betrayal kiss. In verse 51, the servant of the high priest had his ear cut off. And by the way, only John's account, it's interesting, gives the names. In John 18, verse 10, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus." So many times we'll have to go to another gospel account to get additional information about a certain event during this ministry or the life of Jesus. In verse 53, Jesus reminds him, "I could have called more than 12 legions of angels." "Well, put up your sword." In verse 56, an interesting phrase, "This was all done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." And then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now John gives some added information or some specifics of what took place. John chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, 'Who are you? Whom are you seeking?'" So I would imagine if you have all these people coming into the garden to get you, I would be backing up. But Jesus goes forward to the detachment of the troops and the high priest. In verse 5, they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. That's not the usual response when you're going to arrest someone, that the soldiers of the detachment, they're the ones that back up, and then they fall to the ground. So verse 7, he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I've told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. I'll not drink the cup, or shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? So then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. So the events that take place in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus in this situation has given assistance to those who came to arrest them. And he says, I'm he. Who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. You know, the hand goes up. I'm the one. And then in verse 12, the Jews arrest Jesus and bound him. So then, after these things that happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, then you have the trials of Jesus. And I've listed six, at least in my study, or the way that I can divide the text in the different gospel accounts. First one, and continuing in John chapter 18, the next verse, verse 12, I just read. Then the detachment and the captain of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first. Now the other, you read a different account in Gospels, and you'll see that Caiaphas is the first name mentioned. But John's accounts, you have to read each account to put the whole story together. So he went to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. So relatives. So then the next trial of Jesus, after Annas looks at him, is still in John chapter 18, verse 24. Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. The story continues in John chapter 18, verse 28. And you can read these verses in between to get a little more understanding or information about the story. So he goes to Annas and then to Caiaphas in John 18, verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early in the morning. Matthew, we have to go there to get some information. Matthew 26, verse 57. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council. All right, now he's in the praetorium after Annas and Caiaphas. He's in the praetorium, and now he's before the council. And all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Then Luke gives us information. Luke 22, beginning of verse 66. As soon as it was day, remember in John 18, verse 29, he went from Caiaphas to the praetorium and it was early in the morning. Interesting phrase. Why did they mention the daytime or the time of day? So in Luke 22, verse 66, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both the chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council. So now he's in the council. Then in Luke 23, verse 1, it says, then the whole multitude of them, meaning the council that was in the praetorium, and by the way, Caiaphas would be in charge of that council because he's the high priest at the time. So even though he just left Caiaphas, Caiaphas joins that, would be joining that council in the praetorium and lead the way. So now they're in the praetorium. And so in Luke 23, verse 1, then the whole multitude of them, meaning the council, arose and led him to Pilate. All right. So now we're in to Pilate. So you have Annas, Caiaphas. He's tried in the praetorium. And now he's number four. He's being led to Pilate. In Matthew 27, verse 1, Matthew records it too. When the morning came, all the chief priests and elders plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. So So now it's Matthew gives us that same information from the praetorium or the council he's led to Pilate. Matthew continues his account in verse 2 through 10. It just gives kind of an aside, and you have the event of a remorseful Judas returning the 30 pieces of silver, and then he went and hanged himself, and he was, the Bible says, he was buried in Potter's Field. Then verse 11 of Matthew 27, it takes you back from that aside story of Judas. It says, now Jesus stood before the governor, meaning Pilate. Then Luke continues his story in Luke 23, beginning of verse 6. So when Pilate heard, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. So he goes to Pilate. Pilate says, I've heard about this. He's a Galilean. Herod's in town. That's his jurisdiction. I'm sending him to Herod. So then Luke continues his account in Luke 20, still in Luke 23, verse 11. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. In Luke 20, still in Luke 23, verse 24, the story continues. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. So Pilate's trying to get Jesus released, but the people kept saying, we want Jesus crucified. So Pilate gave a sentence that, as they requested, and he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And that's another story, and I'll read that probably next week. But in Luke 23, so Pilate has put forth, I'll just tell you the side story of this. So it's a Passover season, and it's the season where you would release a prisoner to whom they would. So Pilate thinking, I want to release Jesus through all of these trials. I want to release Jesus. So who can I get? And then the Bible, Matthew says there was a notable prisoner called Barabbas. So Pilate presents Jesus and Barabbas before the people, and kind of in a sense, now who will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas? You don't want Barabbas back on the street. Barabbas or Jesus who's called the Christ? And they all shouted, Barabbas, release Barabbas. Then Pilate asked the question, what then shall I do unto Jesus who's called the Christ? And they said, crucify him. And then Pilate delivers Jesus to them. In Matthew 27, verse 27, you could almost list this as a seventh trial, but really it's just the scourging of Jesus before he's led away to be crucified. So now he's in the arms of the soldiers. So in Matthew 27, verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, gathered the whole garrison around him. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him. And when they twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him. They took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. So after, in our story this evening, we see the events in the upper room, then we see that Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and those events take place. And then when he's delivered to the chief priest, you see those different trials of Jesus. Goes to Annas, then to Caiaphas, then to the Praetorium, and then to Pilate. And then Pilate sends him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. Pilate wants to release Barabbas, but they won't have anything of it. So he delivers Jesus to the soldiers. And that's the story of the scourging and all the beating and the words that Matthew uses to describe what happened to Jesus before. The last phrase is in Matthew 27, verse 31, and they led him away to be crucified. I'll look, in next week, I'll start with this. Now, I think I could finish this next week. We'll look at the four ways that Pilate tried to get Jesus released. It's just kind of an interesting side story in all of these trials of Jesus, to note that. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. And we're going to do that again this evening. Maybe one this evening or more that needs to obey that good news gospel message. You have that opportunity. So we encourage you to make that decision. If that's your resolve, we would encourage you in that. So we sing this, we call it a song or a hymn of encouragement, invitation, a song of exhortation, to try to plead and pray for you to make that right decision to come and stand on Jesus' side, or on his side. Jesus said in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, he commissioned the disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, good news about this crucifixion of Jesus. He dies for our sins. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So that's the invitation we extend, a heavenly invitation. Whosoever will may come, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve. So Dennis, make your way to the front here. We'll sing this song. So let's stand together as we sing this song.